What up, voice lessons for the late parches by Ayra. Three times a charm. The YU app, at least for me, is not working appropriately. So I will do a less than extended version. It will not be the 25 minutes it was this morning or the 22 minutes that it was just a few hours, an hour ago when I tried to load it. Now I'm going to try a different way. All in the hands of the Rebbe Shalom, what will work and what won't. The stories of the Parshas of Bereishis are so amazing, and there's so much to discuss that it's hard to pick just one topic. It's hard also to remember, well, what topic did I do? Baruch Hashem, we've been doing this for quite a few years, but I know for sure this was not a topic that I ever discussed. First of all, it does what I love, combining Hashkafa with Halacha. In the beginning of the Parsha, of course, Avraham Avinu receives a B'soira, Malachim come and greet him, and we see the importance of Hachnasas Orchim, and the opposite image of that is where Lot is living. The relative, of course, of Avraham Avinu, who is living in stone, where Hachnasas Orchim is the opposite. Gadol Hachnasas Orchim, even from greeting the Shechina, which he was with, and he gets the B'soira, and he finds out that his wife's going to have a baby, and he finds out the difficulty that will now happen in stone. And Avraham Avinu starts to beg. He davens. He entreats the Ribbono Shalom to save stone. Maybe there's Chamishim Ish. Doesn't work. He continues. And it is quite apparent that stone is so corrupt. There is a fundamental issue with that city that it has to be destroyed. But he will save his relatives. And these Malachim come and greet Lot, and in the city that doesn't allow Hachnasas Orchim, he allows them in, and we know, of course, what ensues. But in that story, something very interesting happens, which Rashi will comment on in a moment. We are told that as the city is about to get destroyed, or it's being destroyed with Gafrit v'Melach, this combination of both salt and sulfur, that Kabbalah tells us that sulfur is the smell of Gehenna. That's why it has such a strong smell. Even today, people go into sulfur springs, but they have a tremendous pungent smell to it. And Lot and his family is told, don't turn around and don't see this destruction. Different reasons are given why that might be. But the wife of Lot has to turn around. Ramban simply says maybe she unfortunately had the married daughters who would not come with her. She was hoping that maybe they were running. But it seems that the Rebbeinu Shlom did not think that they had the schus of seeing the destruction of the city. They were saved, but they have to continue on. And therefore, the Pasuk tells us she turns around and she herself turns into salt. And until today, there's a location in Eretz Yisrael you can go to, and they said, this is where it happened. People say, oh my God, look at this pillar of salt. And of course, people like to taste it. Hopefully not after COVID. And I say it's salty, and I say it's salty because everybody's been licking it for all these years. But no, no. The Zera Shimshon, the great sefer by Rav Shimshon Chaim Nachmani, the Zechuyos, I try to learn at least once in every sefer that we do. The Zechuyos, he writes that he had only one child who died very young. He says, I'll be a Melech Yosher and Shemayim for you if you learn my Sefer. And there's tremendous stories of people who learned it, who could have children, the schoolers. Sefer, of course, has been translated into English, the art school has. And the Rav Amar's whole Institute of Zera Shimshon, he's written Sefarim on. The Zera Shimshon asked the question, what's going on over here? Because Rashi comments, based on Bereishis Rabbah, that the Midrash tells us that there was a Mita Keneged Mita over here. What happened? Eishes Lot was asked by her husband that when the Malachim came, she says, please bring some salt. And she said, I'm going to bring salt and you're going to bring this Minhag Ra over to us. And therefore, she didn't bring the salt, she turned into salt. comes along to Zarathustra and he says, one might read this on the surface and say, well, it's because of Hachras HaZorchem, that terrible minhag. Why are you lying to Hachras HaZorchem? But he said, that's not possible. Because why did she say about the salt and not about the challah that he brought out or the whatever, the meat and the something dafka with the salt? And he quotes the Shulchan Aruch, the Lavush, in Siman Kuf Samach Zayin, which teaches us a fundamental halacha, which we all know probably, and the halacha that salt is brought to the table before we say hamotzi, because it has to be together dipped. The salt is dipped in some way. People do it in different ways. Sprinkled on, dipped into the challah. It's interesting because based on the Gemara, it doesn't appear to be anything other than a din because bread itself was not salted. And to show cover to the bracha itself, so we wanted to bring into it a better tasting. And therefore, that's what it appears to be. If you look at the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Mem, the Gemara seems to say, the Aruch Hofer offers three interpretations of the word boshesh. And we appear to go to, as the Shulchan Aruch quotes, this idea that it was an additive, so it tastes better. But comes along the Ramah, and the Ramah, quoting the Shibudi HaLeket and Agos Ashri, says that there is a Kabbalistic idea over here. The Mizbeach, of course, had meats, as the Lavush says in Perek Bet of Parshas Vayikra, that all the meats had to be salted. And after all, the table that we eat on is a Mizbeach LaHashem. We tell our children, don't sit on the table, because it's a Mizbeach LaHashem. People write this, challah boards have the Shulchan Lefnei Hashem. And therefore the Ramah quotes this idea that it's compared to the altar of the temple, which was salted, so therefore we use salt. Additionally, says the Ramah, there's a kapara for the salt. Why? Because we know that there was a bris of melach. This tremendous covenant of salt was a fundamental bris between us and the Rabbeinu Shalom, that just as salt has the unique feature that it never ever spoils, so too the relationship of the Rabbeinu Shalom will always be with us, and when we have salt out, it protects us against the Ayin Hara, connects us against Peronius. And therefore, this mystical custom, the Ramah quotes, has come into halacha. It's quoted in the Mishnah Berurah as well. Interesting, Rabbi Levinsohn quotes in his Mishnah Berurah that this was not, if this was the reason, I should say, of the Ramah, then you could put into question what the Chassam Sofer says, that on Friday nights when there was no korbanos, maybe you shouldn't dip the salt, the bread into the salt, the challah into the salt. This is the Salvechik's Menach, the Biskei Tshuvas quotes this in the name of different Gedolim who did not do it on Friday night. But at its explanation, the mysticism of it, we must understand what Eishes Lot was so worried about. And Zeresh Shimshon ends with a very fundamental idea. He says that Perek HaChelek in Sanhedrin, we learn that the people of Sodom were so haughty about who they were, they didn't believe in the concept of Ayin Hara. They didn't believe in the concept of being worried about being too showy. As long as you had money, whether you lied, steal, cheat, to get that money, it did not matter, because the most important point was, very simply, the status symbol of the money, the gashmius of it all. And there were no repercussions for anything that I did or any way that I got the money. Putting the salt on the table proved that there was a combination of ruchnias and gashmias. The Rabbeinu Shalom is the one who decides what I have. When Eishes Lot saw the salt on the table, it was much more than just Hachnosas Orchim. that yes had already been violated because of who Lot was, by the way. He had spent so much time, thankfully, with Avram. His core was not a Sodomite. It bothered him so much. And the salt on the table showed that he believed that the Malachim were bringing Peronios, and he wanted to stop that. And maybe he succeeded, by the way, with, of course, the intervention of Avram Avinu. But Eshes Lot said, no, we don't want to be the ones that believe this. But what's the idea? You see, other nations, as Rav Asher Weiss points out in his new Sefer on the Moabim, believe that there is no possibility of combining Ruchnius and Gashmius. The Gashmius, the Geshem, can't be combined with the spiritual. It's antithetical. In other religions, they believe you have the holy man, you have the priest, he can't get married because he can't be involved in Gashmius. We dafka say we want to have both. Life is about both. I quoted a week ago, Rishna's Yurtzeit was last week. My family tradition from Rishon. And the Rishon said the Kashli Predaschem is, because on one hand, on Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah, the Rishon says, I wish life was all about Ruchnius. But we are not Midbar Jews. Of course, the chait of the Meraglim was that they had to understand that it wasn't about living a life in a midbar, where your clothes grew on you, and you got to eat whatever you wanted, whatever you thought of, that's what the man was. There was real life of working the land, of doing mitzvahs of Luis Baritz. Just saw a tremendous video in the news a few days ago of the only farm left in Eretz Yisrael of Haredim. How can it be run by Haredim? Isn't that antithetical? Haredim says, no, this is it. He says the first of the Mishnah is called Zeraim. What do you think they were doing? Was for the non-religious people? No, the religious people were farmers. The whole Shemitah year were to have spirituality. Spend the year in spirituality because you've been working so hard. The belief there are repercussions for the actions that I physically do. The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos that there are repercussions. He's a chacham and a rezanola, but it also says that shame late, waking up late. Well, is that so bad? Because if you go to sleep late, what do you think is going to happen? Of course you're not going to go to Minyan the next day. There are repercussions for my actions. What I physically do will expect, for sure affect me spiritually. And that's why the Mishnah tells us that a person who says, Mishnah Yud, there's Arba Midos Ba'adam. Let's do the first Midah. What's mine is mine, yours is yours, I don't want to bother you, you don't bother me. Zem Midos Ba'adam, that's what I think it is. What's Midas Stom in this? Says the Rabbeinu Yonah. The Midas Stom here is that a person is average. He has to give stuff because what is he going to do? But he's stingy about it. Not because I want to support the poor people, I have to. I have a contract with the Rabbeinu Yonah. 100% of what I earned is really the Rabbeinu Shalom. So it was all because of the Rabbeinu Shalom. And he only asked me to give 10%. What a joy. What a great idea. Thank you, Hashem. Rabbi Jachter has in his many halachic discourses, you know what Midas Sodom is? When I give somebody a ride and I demand from them to pay for the tolls and the gas, I would have gone there anyway. If you have an agreement before, it's different. Doesn't make sense. Midas Sodom, we use this in modern day Hebrew. Midat Sodom. Person has a half a cake left. The guy says, oh, I'm so hungry, can I have the cake? He takes the cake, he throws it in the garbage. He spits on the cake. What are you doing? At the core, I believe, wow, I have this chus of driving somebody. What a chesed I was able to do. I was able to combine my physical driving with the spiritual taking somebody. Wow, that's amazing. That's what stone and why it had to be destroyed. Because at the core, they believe in no consequences. They believe in all gashmis, believe ruchnius, because there's no repercussions. There's no salt on the table. There's no bris that we have with the Rebbeinu Shel. Of course, the what salt is, where house salt is made from the spiritual and the physical. But fundamentally, a Jew has to realize, as the Rishna concludes, that Kushli Pei Daskim is, yeah, I should want my life to be all this. But you know what real life is? Real life is the world. And he beautifully states the Shem Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Yud and the He is the physical. Achil Ishti Abia. And the Vav and the He is our spiritual life of Kedusha, of Torah, what we're involved in. The combination of the two, interestingly enough, the physical first and then the spiritual. That's what life is all about, combining the two. Taking my mizbeach, my table, my house, which is called the Mikdash Ma'at. During Corona, we learned this, how we had to make our homes. We had nothing. We brought Zoom into the home with tons of shiurim, with tefillah, with people made their homes into minyanim. Minyanim, I don't mean 10 people. I mean the few people that you had in our house. We understood what it meant. And I'm taking the physical meal that I'm having now, making it spiritual. You know, the joke is that you don't gain weight on Shabbos. One of the boys said, yeah, because you can't weigh yourself. But afterwards, you gain weight. But really, if I really believe that I'm only eating Shabbos because I have to, like Rav Kook would not eat meat, except by Yisudas Mitzvah. They said, but if I Yisudas Mitzvah, he would eat meat like you wouldn't believe. Because he said, this is a mitzvah. This is when what looks physical is actually all spiritual. And that's the lesson that we have to learn, not to be like stone. To understand the bris of the melech. That salt means so much to us. Because it reminds us there are consequences to everything. But Hashem will save us if we understand those consequences. And even if we fall and we've done something bad, Baruch Shalom says, I'll pick you up, look at the bris of the salt. It doesn't get bad. I'm always going to be with you. We should be zeichet to understand this idea. And this concept of our shulchan being mizbeach Hashem should be a reality when we actually can see the kavanos with the salt and understand the importance of the lesson of the salt. We should be zeicha very soon to be binyan b'ayis shlishli b'meir v'yameinu. Amen. V'yameinu.